let's get analysis from the former Assistant Chief Constable in Northern Ireland for the PSNI, Alan McQuillan. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It would seem extraordinary to some people listening to this that for those people who were tasked to protect us here in Northern Ireland and elsewhere in the UK, MI5, the security services, that they would allow children to be abused, that they would actually be complicit in child abuse in order to have informants. Do you think that is even a credible possibility?
I think if you look at the context of the time we're talking about, I have to say, I wish I could say that it wasn't, but I have to say to you, I think it is potentially credible. So the allegation is there. It needs to be investigated. I don't know if it did happen, but I have to say to you, looking at everything that was going on at that time, it could have happened. You've got to look at the entire context of that. Effectively, when Concord was at its peak, we had undeclared martial law here. The police service had collapsed. The army were in charge of security. And there were all sorts of very strange things and some very strange people operating in Belfast and other parts of Northern Ireland as part of the security apparatus.
And why do you think it's credible? Why do you think it's a possibility?
Well, the pattern of the evidence of the witnesses, I mean, you've heard some of them this morning, there is no doubt that it happened. They have given evidence about other men visiting the premises. There are issues around the circumstances in which the police investigation in the mid-70s was closed down. All of that needs to be opened up and examined. We're looking at this with a very different light today compared to what was considered even in the 80s and 90s. We've seen so much more about what was going on in certain areas, and we're so much more aware of the different issues of child abuse. So I have to say to you that some of the things I've heard from your show and others, from the witnesses from Cora, is exactly the same as I heard when I was involved in major investigations into children's homes in Wales as well, in terms of the type of abuse, what happened to the children, how they operated, and how the victims felt.
And how much do you think it is going to be actually possible to investigate the British security services, who by the very nature of what they do, they are secretive?
Well, the issues are very simple. Either the government is going to be committed to this or it isn't. I think the call for international inquiry is a bit of a political red herring. The issue is this. Either the government is committed now to open this can of worms and look at it, or it's not. If it's not, the security files will disappear. The records will disappear and any inquiry won't get to the bottom of it. The government has stated...
And can that happen? Can they just make them disappear and with no accountability?
Look at what's happened in the Home Office. Files have just disappeared. We're talking about things that happened 40 years ago. Files may have disappeared through natural weeding processes. Many of them will not have. But the question is, unless you get the active cooperation of the British government and the relevant agencies, then this, any investigation, any public inquiry will get nowhere. You need that level of cooperation and assistance. I think the government is committing to that. The question is now, what's the best way to do this? We already have an inquiry running in Northern Ireland, focused on Northern Ireland institutions with Judge Hart. That's been running for, I think, about 18 months, 2 years now, and has just been extended for a year. So we have that inquiry running. We have this major inquiry in London, which they haven't even been able to get a head for yet, and which they haven't drafted terms of reference for. Now, this is such a huge issue across the UK because we're only now starting to realise the scale of what has gone on here. It's such a huge issue that the question is, how do we get the best result for the victims?
Do you think the police in Northern Ireland should have done more to investigate? Could they have done more with the benefit of hindsight? Because, you know, the more victims I talk to, the more they tell me that they had approached the police, that they had sought help from all different types of adults, different types of organisations, and it still went nowhere.
I think that's probably the police did not do enough at the time. I think, again, part of that's down the time, but also part of it's down the attitudes in society.
And what do you mean attitudes in society? Explain to me what you mean by that.
I remember at that stage doing child protection investigations, what would now be called child protection investigations, into issues of, for example, incest. To do those effectively, you need great cooperation between all the agencies. In the early 70s, mid-70s, we couldn't get that because social workers were under threat if they cooperated with us. So the circumstances of Northern Ireland as a whole at the time meant that in a whole series of areas, you couldn't have done investigations as you would have wished to, even if you had that facility and you had the people to do them.
And what was the attitude like about child abuse, to child abuse back then? Have times changed in terms of the attitude towards it?
I think it was radically changed. My personal perception is it's radically changed. That nowadays, we recognise that in those days, it was swept under the carpet. It wasn't recognised as the problem that it really is, and I think that's a shame for the entire society. And this goes wider than not just Kinkora and homes like Kinkora. If you look at what's going on in the Irish Republic in relation to the mother and baby homes, there is an entire history of the last 70 years and the way we've treated children in this society that has to be unpicked. Kinkora is one aspect of that, and Kinkora has a special place because of these allegations that situation was being exploited by the state institutions. If that's the case, that's shameful, and people are still amenable for that. In my view, they should end up in court.
We're going to hear another victim in a moment or two who will talk about William McGrath, this orange man who was also a key member in Kinkora who abused children. And the allegation is that MI5 had turned a blind eye to him being a paedophile in order for them to control him. Now, control him in what way? What way would that have worked? What would they have done? Would they have threatened him? What would they have done, Alan?
Well, that's one of the bits. Clearly the allegation...
Clearly this is hypothetical. We do not know.
Allegation is that they would have recruited him as a source. Let's forget Mr. McGrath himself. Let's suppose they recruited someone as a source. They would want intelligence from him as to what was going on in particular quarters. So you then have to look at William McGrath and say, well, what were his political connections? Was he involved politically? Was he involved with paramilitary groups? The allegation is he was linked to this group, Tara. What was going on within Tara? Who was actually running Tara? Who was controlling Tara? What did the security services know about that? And who else was involved? So you've got to start to unpick all of those issues to see what was going on at the time and what value that individual would have had to the security services in that context.
And if this happened, if MI5 were indeed controlling William McGrath, if William McGrath was an informant, would people in the police, in the RUC at the time, have known?
Not necessarily. They might have. But at that stage...
Would there be a paper trail of that?
There could be, but at that stage, the lead in all security issues lay with the army, not with the police. We had a state of undeclared martial law that only ended in 1976. So at that stage, the army would have done their own thing. Some of that would have been shared with the police. Some of it would have been shared with the security services, some not. And all the agencies were continually juggling for position within that system. Indeed, that was why Sir Maurice Oldfield was brought over at one stage to try and slap them on the line and get them to cooperate, because you had all these different organisations pursuing their own agendas. And it was only in the early 70s, 73, 74, that they began to get some degree of cooperation together in that. So would they have known? Possibly. Did they know? We need an investigation.
You know, it is quite extraordinary, and we shouldn't let this pass over us this morning, the import of what you're saying. You're a former assistant chief constable. You were one of the men at the very, very top of the police in Northern Ireland. And you are saying that you believe it is a possibility that the British security forces were complicit in child abuse in Northern Ireland. That is extraordinary.
You've got to remember, at the time this was going on, I was in school.
No, I know, but with the benefit of your experience.
What I'm saying to you is, I'm looking back at this now, I'm seeing the evidence that is presented now, which would not all have been visible to people at the time.
Sure.
And on the basis of what I'm seeing now, I'm saying this needs to be investigated. Could it have happened? Absolutely, yes, it could. Did it happen? We need to find out.
And do you believe, final question, Would you be optimistic that we will get to the truth?
I don't know that we will ever, with the best will in the world, national or international inquiry, I don't believe we would ever be able to totally satisfy everyone and totally satisfy all the victims and totally...
Whether they're satisfied or not, do you believe that we will get to the truth?
I think we could get away to the truth, but it just depends upon what evidence is left. Many of the key players in this have died or are very elderly now. The question is, what records are left? What is there from that era that we can find that would be of evidential use?
Okay. Al McQuillan, thank you very much indeed. Extraordinary that we have a former chief constable as senior as Alan McQuillan saying that it is a possibility. When he looks at the evidence, when he looks back at what the victims are now saying, that MI5 were complicit in child abuse here in Northern Ireland.